Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Baker Mayfield at least got his team to the playoffs.
It still
Maybe it's the Manziel vibes you get. There's a guy that just never, first of all, he was small and wasn't really that talented when he got
he's
to the
NFL.
Baker
Mayfield, yeah.
Yeah, but Johnny
Manziel. He was arrogant and entitled.
Yeah, Johnny Manziel's, yeah, that arrogance and entitlement part is what you worry about with, again, we see it, but does Zach Wilson see it when he looks in the mirror? Because if he keeps denying it, it's never going to get better. Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, hour number three, presented by Progressive Insurance. You feeling it today, or do you want to pass it off?
Yeah.
You want to pass it off today? I
want to hand a baton off.
I think we hand a baton today because in honor of the World Cup, I think today is a day that when we reach the power hour, the hour number three, the most important hour of the show. Today, we give you a little flavor. So, Lactavius, Ignatius, Crustaceous, Blanco, the third. When I say it's hour number three, while the World Cup is going on, what does that mean?
And because Mexico tied earlier, 0-0, mm-hmm, against Poland, esta es la hora del poder, 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 poder.
Also in honor of the of Monday Night Football being in.
Oh, yes. In Ciudad de México.
De México. Yeah. So we have that. So there you go. The power hour. And everything sounds better in Spanish. In a few minutes, we'll get to Blitzer Prevent. A lot of topics go around the NFL. We have your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And we had Dan Graziano, Bart, in the studio earlier in the show. And as we're kicking around the whole Zach Wilson and what should the Jets do with him thing, and we watched Jimmy Garoppolo last night just lead the 49ers to another win, and you know they are looking very much like a contender in the NFC with Trey Lance injured, sitting there. They moved up to draft him and all that stuff. And Dan Graziano said, yeah, even if Jimmy G takes this team to the Super Bowl next year, he's gone. And I always wonder, like, why do we rush quarterbacks? There are some situations. Justin Fields is in a team. They're not really ready to win yet. Sure, play him, get the experience. Trevor Lawrence is in Jacksonville. Play him, get the experience. But there's some guys in some situations, it's almost like unfair. Like, he's not on the same track as your team. And I think Zach Wilson is that guy. Your team got better faster than you expected and at a rate faster than your number two overall pick is improving. Is it so bad to just say, right now, second half of the season, we're in position to make the playoffs, something we haven't done in a decade? We need this for our young guys on our defense and our young guys on our offense.
The hard work.
The needs of the many outweigh the needs of the few right now. The decision we make at quarterback cannot be based on development. It has to be based on the rest of the group deserves to get the best out of our team. And maybe Zach Wilson's not ready to give the best. It doesn't mean we're throwing the baby out with the bathwater. It just means that right now, he's going to have to sit because he's not ready to do what we need a quarterback to do. Why can't we do that? And it's not a you know an indictment on the pick.
I mean, for me, if it wasn't for the comments post-game, I'm not even having this discussion. I'm playing Zach Wilson.
But because, as bad as he looked, you're still feeling like y'all would just keep going?
I still would have had it because you can say that Mac Jones on the other side looked equally as bad.
But Mac Jones last year as a rookie took them to the playoffs.
I understand that, but then he was on a good team. Yeah. Right? He was on a good team.
Well, that's what the Jets are. Well, the Jets are a good team.
I get it. But they didn't give up on Mac Jones with a good team last year, and he didn't play great. He got exposed in the playoffs. It's important for him to learn, but it's more about me, the long-term credibility for me with this football team. That's saying anybody that kind of steps out of line, not that he said anything derogatory, but he didn't read the room, and what he said didn't take accountability. So this has to be a teachable lesson for him.
Okay.
This is just as bad. What he said is just as bad as saying, I want to be traded by Denzel Mims. Or it could be just as.
I don't know if it's the same because you're quitting on your team when you want to trade.
It still comes off selfish.
It's yeah.
When you point fingers at everybody else, it comes off as selfish.
Arrogant, defiant, all the things that you can't be as a leader.
And you're trying to preach team and togetherness and receipts and it's us against them.
Yes.
And he's saying, nah, I have nothing to do with that. And I take no accountability. And it's a teachable moment. So this is more about the teachable moment than it is about, because I think if Zach Wilson plays, they can beat Chicago, especially if they don't have Justin Fields.
Okay.
And he'll play better, right? Because the defense won't be as good or as dialed in to what the Jets like to do, because Bill Belichick won't be there. We wouldn't have 2 weeks of scouting. But it's important for you to win this locker room. So you sit him down just to show him that nobody's above reproach, not even the starting quarterback for this league. And we'll do what's in the best interest of the team, because when you didn't start Elijah Moore, you can't tell me it's because you're better with Berrios in the slot. It's because you wanted to let everybody know that, hey, we are the authority. So you're letting them know that. Like, hey, we'll sit you down. You'll do what's right. You have a misstep, we'll sit you down. So it's more about that than it is about the play.
So it's more about it, and it's also about your teammates. This is Robert Saleh when he was on the Michael Kay Show in New York talking about that very part of it, which is, you can lose the media, you might lose the fans, but when you lose your locker room, that's a bigger problem.
No, because I don't think one mistake on the podium is indicative of the everyday conversations these guys have in the locker room. I get to the outside world, it's like, oh my God, look what he said. Well, they talk every day. That's not the language they speak. He's not walking in the locker room and flipping up the bird to those guys. It's a team. They're all in it together. They go to work together. They practice together. And there's a lot of conversations that everyone's having together. And so while the outside world might look at that thing and say, oh my God, look how he's talking to his teammate, they talk every day. Mm-hmm. And so he made a mistake, and an emotional, you just think about these young men, and he feels like he might be attacked, and it didn't come off right. So I think it's something that he'll be able to learn from.
You buying that?
But it's trending, because I said something about it the first New England game, and I definitely said something when they won, like, hey man, this guy's coming off real, like, a little smug. You don't want to be perceived. It was in here. I said that. Yep. I was like, you don't want to be perceived. You don't want to have that fight with the media, because they have nothing to do but antagonize you when you have to actually focus on actually playing.
Oh, yeah.
Or about other stuff. They can keep all their focus directly on you. And it's more about that than to me. You don't want to lose this locker room, and you don't want guys to, because it's going to boil over. If you do that this week, and then he goes out the next week and he struggles, everybody be like, all right, whatever. But if you do it and he struggles and throws bad passes or something like that, he's going to get showed up. Guys going to be looking, and the body language is going to be
started,
all.
It started happening.
Yeah, and the body language is going to be all crazy.
You're the guy that a couple of years ago pointed out how Kyler Murray was not a leader.
Yep.
Based on what you just saw, body language wise and everything else.
Post game interviews.
And you did not like what you saw, and people criticized you for it. And then a year later, anonymous sources from the team were criticizing Kyler Murray for his lack of leadership based on all the things you were pointing out. So I just want to make everybody aware of the fact that you watch things like that a lot, and you're seeing, is it fair to say, tendencies in Zach Wilson that are similar to what Kyler Murray was giving off to you a couple of years ago?
I just see, like,
that now everybody sees?
I just see when criticized, he goes into defense mode.
Yes.
And he becomes defensive. And by being defensive, he doesn't take accountability, but he also could, be indirectly pointing the finger to other people. Like when he says, well, I get upset at them sometimes for stuff as well.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like a lot of their receivers were,
Yeah, there's times I'm not happy when what the receivers are doing, and it's like this is not the day to bring that up. Would you say that when somebody lacks humility or the ability to have accountability, would you say that that is a sign of a lack of confidence? Self-confidence.
Yeah, it's a bit of narcissism. But yeah, it's insecurities.
Insecurity is probably the better way to put it. Instead of confidence, insecurity is the better word.
A lot of insecurities about trying to live up to something that you want people to see you as, you know what I mean? So you're projecting. You want them to see you as a superstar. You walk around, talk like a superstar. Mm-hmm. You didn't go to the biggest school, but you feel like, hey, I'm supposed to be here. I was the second overall
pick. You're the number two pick. Who cares at this point, right?
Yeah.
Like, it shouldn't matter. But why are your hands in the air?
A lot of people are looking at, are waiting for, like, validation.
Yeah, validation. Absolutely. Yeah. And he hasn't delivered that yet. You're waving your hands around like crazy in the control room. What's going
because
on?
Because USA here? Scored on Thailand.
No, they, sorry. Defending champions are down 1-0 10 minutes into the game.
The defending champions.
France are down to Australia 1-0.
Oh, the Aussies.
The Aussies.
Well, that's a big continent.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not like America losing to Samoa.
Go back to the NFL conversation.
Well, the way you were flipping out, I thought there was some big news or something like that.
No.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's continue to go around the NFL with Blitzer Prevent. Points that I'm going to make and see if Bart wants to attack them or not. Of course, we got your calls coming up, so stay with us on that. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Progressive makes bundling easy and affordable. Get a multi-policy discount by combining your motorcycle, RV, boat, ATV, and more. All your protection in one place. Bundle and save at progressive.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This is Blitz.
Blitz is coming, sack, fumble.
Or Prevent.
Caught, what a catch.
All right, here we go, Bart Scott. You know the rules. Blitz, you want to take on the topic. Prevent, meh. Means nothing to you.
Let's do it.
That it's dumb. The Eagles offense is in trouble without Dallas Goedert. Blitz or Prevent?
We'll blitz that. Listen, I understand that Dallas Goedert, you know, controls the middle of the field. He's, you know, a top 10 tight end. But I think with Devontae Smith, I think with Sanders, and I also think with A.J. Brown, they have enough to be able. Listen, everybody in the division has an easy game. The only easy games they don't have is when they play each other.
Yes.
And, you know, so I think they'll be fine, and they'll adjust. And the defense will have to step up, but I think they'll be fine. Their schedule's not hard coming up.
Okay. More Blitzer Prevent. Taylor Heinicke is good enough to take the Commanders to the playoffs.
Blitz. I think you think about Taylor Heinicke, you just need him to be who he is. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to be special. Curtis Samuels, Logan, Gibson, Terry McLaurin. I mean, they have weapons offensively. So he just has to be a facilitator. Don't turn the ball over. And, like, this team loves him. They rally around him. I think he absolutely will take them to the postseason. Chase Young should be coming back very shortly. That's going to give them just another playmaker.
Yeah, he's on the verge of returning. You add him to that defense, forget about it. I mean, that adds
Montez Sweat, Payne, Allen. Right.
That adds a lot of physicality to that defense. Blitzer Prevent, Bart Scott. The Falcons will overtake the Buccaneers and win the NFC South.
Man, it's... I'm blitzing everything today, so it's all good. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, they beat Seattle. They look like they're figuring it out. And I just don't know if the Falcons can play consistently enough and clean enough. They're good. They're an up-and-coming team, surprising team. But, you know, no Kyle Pitts out for the season.
Yeah.
That's going to be hard because now they can just double Drake London. He's a rookie, and then that makes it a little bit more difficult. They don't have the weapons to outscore people. So I think Tampa's going to get a relatively easy division title.
Man, I tell you what, Arthur Smith and the Falcons have kind of shown you enough this year where maybe they'll fall short, but you got to feel good about what they look like, you know, in the coming years. I mean,
well, is it going to be Mariota or Ritter?
Well, that's the next thing they've got to figure out, I think, right, the rest of the season and in the offseason. All right, more Blitzer Prevent with Bart Scott. The Vikings are fugazi, not as good as their record says they are.
It's tough, man, because it's just a week-to-week league. And they have the tough pieces on the other side. I just want to just say maybe they had a bad game plan, and Dallas had them dialed up pretty easily.
Bad game in your building against Dallas.
Yeah. And the last time they had a bad game was against Philadelphia. But before that, they rattled off seven straight wins.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't discount that. I'll give them the benefit of the doubt at least for another week.
Okay. All right, last one for me. The Bengals, Blitzer Prevent, are still the AFC's most dangerous team.
Who's that?
The Bengals, Cincinnati. Most dangerous team.
They're dangerous.
That can mean a lot.
They're dangerous.
Okay.
They're dangerous because if they get in a tournament, they're going to have they won't have fear of anybody. So,
okay, so you understand what I meant by dangerous. Yeah. Yes.
Everybody they have to beat. They beat Tennessee when Tennessee was rolling. Now, King Henry wasn't King Henry because he was coming off of the injury. But then they went and beat Kansas City in Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Who are they going to see this year? Kansas City, Tennessee. They're comfortable going against the Baltimore Ravens. Like, they have a sense of comfort against everybody left in the tournament. And if they have to go play Josh Allen, they don't fear them either. They have a good defense. And when Ja'Marr Chase comes back, they have an elite offense.
Right.
Four guys to go to. Hayden Hurst, Joe Mixon is a dual threat, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. They have five guys that can make great plays on the offensive side of the ball.
And they got a core that just was there last year, a pretty confident team that knows that they can get it done. And that's what makes them dangerous. Obviously, if you want to say literally most dangerous team, that's the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, the AFC's most dangerous team is that team because they have Patrick Mahomes and that offense is just insane. But when you talk about danger as far as like you know, you play this team, they're a dangerous team. They might not – this year they're not making a ton of noise, but – you know this time of year when they get fully healthy.
It's like any sport.
They're that team you don't want to
fight. It's like any sport, right? It's about peaking and playing good football at the right time.
Yeah.
So it's about that. And you can see the Bengals starting to trend in the right direction, figure things out. And they're able to be underneath the radar because nobody's paying attention to them because it's big games every week. Like, oh, this week is Dallas, Minnesota. Next week it'll be something else. And the Ravens are doing the same thing as well. They're just slowly getting better.
Under the radar.
Slowly getting more comfortable. Mm-hmm. They're starting to get more guys back healthy. They're getting Bowser back. They're going to get Gus Edwards back. They're going to get J.K. Dobbins back. Drake has been doing a great job. Kenyon Drake. I don't know why I'm saying Drake. Kenyon Drake has been doing a great job being that being that running back. He's been their MVP. Marcus Robinson came back last week, went for 130 yards receiving. Andrew's shoulder is going to get stronger. Ronnie Stanley's came back and played like the number one left tackle that he got paid to be. And he escaped like an injury scare last week, so he's going to be back. So the Ravens and the Bengals are very, they can beat anybody.
Yeah, division always is tough, but two teams that can come out of it this year are just named. All right, that's Blitzer Prevent. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get back to the phones. We go. We got Jay on Long Island. What's up, Jay?
Bart, hot. How are you guys doing?
Good.
I listen to you guys every single day. I'm in the car. You guys are awesome together.
Appreciate it.
I had a couple of points about the Jets. Big Jet fan. First one, no one's talking about the fact that Nate Herbig wasn't playing. I feel like he's like the unsung hero after Vera Tucker went down.
Oh, absolutely. Max Mitchell is hopefully coming back pretty soon, too.
Yeah.
Max Mitchell and Fant coming back shortly. But,
But that line was compromised.
Herbert was playing great.
Yeah.
But I think they gave up on the run way too early in that game. They didn't even try. I understand that they didn't run the ball
100%. That was my point. And I'm not putting the game on Mike LaFleur, but, in the fourth quarter when there's a minute and a half left and you decide to throw, a pass to Michael Carter 2 yards before the line of scrimmage, when on the last two plays you got 9 yards running the ball, you needed 1 yard.
Yeah, and I think they should have just ran the ball more. And we see all the time, Derrick Henry, don't really run the ball well. They tackle him early in the first quarter, second quarter.
Third quarter, he wears him down. Yeah.
And it's the threat of being able to run the ball, not always the actual execution of running the ball.
Yeah, let's continue with the call. Roy is in the truck. Roy, what's happening?
Hey, fellas, what's going on with you?
You in an F-150 or you in a Chevy?
No, that's man, a, I'm in a doggone 18-wheeler. You kidding me?
Oh, okay. You're in a real truck. Well, we appreciate, we appreciate
let's hear
you
the
because,
horn.
Because the, earth, the world don't move without you guys. you just scared the hell out of the car in front of you.
That's true.
F-250. No, I already ran that car over. He's behind me now.
What do you got for us, Roy?
Man, look, bench that quarterback. He needs some humble pie. And the coach needs to put him in the office and say, look, you want to end up like Manziel, keep it up. Mm-hmm. Keep it up.
Yeah.
Or Baker. Or Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold was a nice guy, and we got rid of him.
Yeah, but at least Sam handled stuff well.
He handled it great.
He handled it all well. But I think what Roy said, that's the thing you were – like, you look at a Johnny Manziel, you look at guys that have handled things like that, they don't last because teams don't want to put up with you. Like, teams will give you second and third chances. Thank you, Roy. Teams will give you second and third chances if you're just good and they think, well, maybe he'll figure it out. But if you're a guy that just has that RBF at the podium.
Yeah, but he has.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm putting up with this guy. And that's what you got to watch out for, if you're Zach Wilson. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Mike in New York. Mike, you with us now?
Yeah, I'm with you.
We got you, Mike.
First time, long time. Oh, I have a theory on Zach. Remember a couple of weeks ago, he threw a couple of interceptions, and he said it was because he was bored?
Yeah, that was against the Patriots.
What if he believes that the play calling is what's the problem? And then he benched him, and he thinks it's the coaching staff.
Well, I mean, one thing Salah did say is that he's not making a change of play caller, that Mike LaFleur is still going to continue to do that. And, I think those comments were alarming when he said that after the Patriots
game. They
were
bored. Remember, that was bored because before it was going through Breece, and Breece was opening things up, and there's explosive plays.
Right.
And so now I feel like he was like, okay, Breece not here, so now it can be about me. And he started wanting to throw the ball, and he was taking risk and trying to, instead of just – running the ball, play action.
Just keep it simple. Yeah, I think he would love to air it out. I think he'd love to play just backyard nerf football, a little Brett Favre action. I think in his mind, he would love to be able to play like that
some
one day.
Yeah, he want to play like he see Mahomes, just throwing the ball all over the place.
Yeah, he might fancy himself to be a guy that can do that, but clearly no one else does. Because if he could, they'd have him do it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We got your calls. We'll continue with them. And also, we'll get more into Ben Simmons' return to Philadelphia, how the crowd will welcome him back to the city of brotherly love. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance. Your small business keeps you on the go. Progressive Commercial Insurance keeps your policy within reach with our easy-to-use mobile app. Learn more at progressivecommercial.com. Thanksgiving this week. Tomorrow, our last show before the holiday. I imagine tomorrow, like we do each year, Bart, we're going to spend most of the time talking about food.
The food brackets.
Can we get your mom on?
Yeah, we should. We should
get your mom on to talk. Because I still haven't gotten one of the pies that she makes.
The Grizzlies.
Okay.
I think I should be included in the whole pie
situation
now with the family.
Does your mom make pies?
My mom does not make pies.
Do you guys make coquito?
But, no, we do not make coquito.
I mean, you don't have to be Puerto Rican to make coquito.
No, I know. We don't do that.
It's like y'all version of eggnog, right?
Yes.
I'm always down to learn about it.
Why'd you look at me and say y'all version of eggnog?
But no, lactose sitting behind me, so I have to turn behind. Then I always look at you when I talk.
I did sense, some sort of...
right?
Yeah.
Like, he gave me this kind of look, like a side-eye look, like y'all version.
But it ain't like black people got a drink. We ain't make no drink. Like, all we make is that irk and jerk.
Everything we do is just never that good. So it's a better version of what y'all do.
Well, y'all have spiked eggnog. You guys have coquito. Black people just got irk and jerk with coke.
You have what?
Irk and jerk.
Irk and what?
Phrasing.
Mm-hmm. Is that a brandy or something? It's like irk and jerk. That's what we
grew up. I've always known it as E and J, but whatever.
Yeah, we call it Erkin. Yeah, E and J.
Okay. No, I know it now. I'm just saying. I never heard it as Erkin Jerk.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's black people's holiday drink. Okay. Then your uncles get out there, start even freestyling or rolling dice. It's something. Like Roscoe Jenkins.
Or somebody. Or
you hear people fight. You hear people fighting. They down there playing them, shooting them dice again. Seven again.
Did France score again?
2-1, France.
France is going to stop.
Olivier Giroud.
France. So he is becoming that guy. Because don't tell me if he win 2 World Cups, he won't be catapulted right there with Messi and all those guys.
No, Olivier Giroud was not in the conversation we had.
The names sound the same.
Mbappe was the person we talked about. Mbappe.
Are they cousins?
They play on the same team. They French.
Tell me they can't be cousins.
They could be.
Mbappe, how many Giannis is at the Jacupos is on one team?
Antonio's in Jersey, wants to talk World Cup with us. What's up, Antonio?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
Do you know Antetokounmpo?
It's not his.
Wasn't it Mbukike?
No, you know it's him? Mbappe, man. That's Mbappe. It's not that hard.
He can't be white.
Mbappe.
He can't be white. He black.
Yes, he is.
So basically, they drafted him from another country and just gave him citizenship so he can help them win.
They did not draft
the damn French.
No. They did not draft him.
Okay, what's his nationality? He's
French.
Nigerian or something.
He would be
no,
French.
The hell no. Is he black or not? Is he black?
There's black people in France.
No, yeah, is he black? So what is he? Is he African? So is he African? I'm talking to you, brother. Is he black?
I'm not African?
No. Is Mbappe?
Yes, he's African. He's African.
Thank you. So you know a lot of times countries have some people move in, you know what I mean, so they can be on the squad and get them citizenship.
No,
you're
completely right. Just like France has also another forward, Benzema. He's Algerian, but he's a French. He has a French passport, so he's allowed to play
French. So French is cheating. That's okay. I understand.
Not necessarily, because a lot of countries also do that.
That's what I'm saying. So it's a rigged system. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. It's like when somebody like moves somebody into your town in your little league team, and they recruiting people from different towns to play for schools that they don't live in a jurisdiction.
No. Because once you play for one country, you can never play for another country ever again.
That's right.
Right. So that means they're getting paid off handsomely. He probably stand at the Eiffel Tower. He probably got a suite at the Eiffel Tower.
It'd be like me. If I had the choice, right, if I was a professional soccer player and I was getting, you know, recruited for a national team, I would have 3 choices: El Salvador, Colombia, or the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Because my parents are Salvadorian and Colombian, based on nationality.
Yes. You know that Becky Hammon played for the Russian Olympic team? Because she did not make Team USA?
Right, that's cheating. And they probably paid her.
And there was some kind of there was something that she was able to do. Because she, I guess, played there or something. But
Antonio called for a reason. We hijacked the conversation.
What's up, man?
Well, but earlier you guys were saying, how can you consider Messi and Ronaldo to be on top of the sport if they've never won a World Cup?
Yeah.
You guys have to think about it. The World Cup only comes around once every 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So each of them only been to 4. And Bart, you know this. Football is the ultimate team sport. But wouldn't you consider soccer right underneath that? 11 players on each side.
If that's the case, then why is there a superstar?
What about Melo? Yeah, exactly.
Why would,
what about
if
Melo?
It's a team sport?
No, I'm just playing about team.
If it's a team sport, though, how come these guys are considered to be gods, like making, I mean, $50 million and all that
because
stuff?
Because of their individual
one guy doesn't
accolades.
Make you
be- that's
but,
why.
But does, all right. That they don't win you a championship. So why would you pay one guy that much money if one guy can't help you win a championship?
He's saying they win championships. They just don't win.
Countries don't pay these players, though.
No, I'm talking about it in the sport in general, though.
Oh, in the sport. I get it. But we're not talking. But that's when you consider NBA when there's only 5 players on the court.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
Right. But when it's 11 players on the court, it's.
Or a quarterback.
But look at the quarterback. But a quarterback don't play defense. So, like, he's just as dependent on his other teammates as a soccer player is on his whole team.
That's fair. That's fair.
Because a great quarterback sits on the bench. Pele did it. So Pele is the standard.
Pele was trash. You can't compare Pele to these players now. Pele, when he won those
He's on the Subway commercials.
How
Subway commercials only have gangster players on it.
Trash. Did you say Pele was trash?
Lacto, stand up for Pele.
Trash. He played against nobody. He played against shoemakers and electricians
This is the J.J. Redick argument. Antonio's making the J.J. Redick argument that Bill Russell.
New York Cosmos. So, let's be serious.
So Bill Russell played against short people.
I remember the Cosmos. That was a good
Cosmos
time.
Cosmos were trash. You're going to tell me. But Bill Russell was a legend, though.
No.
You can't do that.
Hit the click. You just contradicted yourself.
Bill Russell played at the same time that the whole, like, the plumbers and electricians argument that people made.
A 6'5".
He was playing against big men who were like 6'6". They were playing against. Bill Russell was playing against me.
Only person that had it easier was George Mikan.
Man, Antonio, you had us until that. Pele was trash.
That was bad.
Pele was trash the worst take we've ever had on this show?
You don't get a Pele soccer store in Times Square if you're trash.
Right? Yes.
You don't get on a Subway commercial
That's literally like saying Bill Russell was trash. It's the same thing.
How could you possibly
say that? Pele was the standard
in the sport. Wasn't he like the first guy that went by one name?
Yeah, it was him, and then Prince upped him with the symbol. It's not even a name. It's just a symbol.
When Prince went symbol, that took it to the next level.
How do you pronounce Prince's name if he like for award? And the winner is symbol.
Whatever it takes.
Like what's the name? Did the symbol have a name?
Antonio started well. And he just completely.
Yeah, I think I like soccer callers, man.
Soccer calls are great. It's almost like Feinbaum callers.
Yeah.
You know?
I wouldn't put it that far.
Getting into the
he said Pele was trash. He said Pele wasn't that good.
Pele was trash might be the worst take we've ever had on our show. That's great success. We're going to hang a banner for you, Antonio.
But you see how those people, how France is recruiting.
But that's
French
everywhere,
national.
Though. That's
cheating. Then.
Are they recruiting, or does his family move there,
and
then he played soccer?
Yes. That's usually how it goes.
That take is right up there with whoever said the Chiefs weren't making the playoffs.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, listen, that didn't age well. Yeah,
that's a big one.
That didn't age well, but it's still right there. It should have worked if the teams wouldn't have been as trash as that we thought. We thought that team was going to be a lot harder, and it was going to be a lot harder because the teams in the division was going to be better.
We have to talk about Ben Simmons at some point. Let's do that coming up next. We'll hear from Ben Simmons on his return to Philadelphia tonight. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Best compliments we ever got, Bart. The best duo since Eric B. and Rakim.
Mm.
I'll take that.
Ain't no joke.
It's Bart and Hahn, of course. Presented by Progressive Insurance. We're brought to you by The Home Depot. With everything you need to do products smarter, faster, easier. Welcome to today's Home Depot, how doers get more done. The Nets in Philly tonight. Ben Simmons back in Philadelphia. He going to get it done? He's been playing a lot better of late. He's starting to look like himself again. The Nets, too, like with past all the Kyrie drama, he's now back with the team. And as KD said, now can we just get back to talking about basketball, which is nice. But the Sixers don't have Embiid, don't have Maxey, don't have Harden. So it's not like a real showdown kind of game. But I imagine for Ben Simmons, just walking in the building, which he did last year, but he sat on the bench. But being on the court, being introduced, playing, all that stuff, he knows he's going to hear it from the Sixer fans.
I'm so excited. I can't wait. It's going to be fun. You know, this is going to be an opportunity for me. You know, I've never been in this situation, so, you know, I got to appreciate it. Really take it all in. We shared a lot of moments here, a lot of ups and downs. You know, this is where I was, you know, I became a man, I feel like. So, you know, I've always, you know, had a lot of respect for Philly in that way and the fan base. You know, it's a special fan base. But I got a lot of love for Philly.
Is it anticlimactic then for you not to be playing against Joel or Tyrese or James or any of those guys?
I mean, the fans will make up for it.
Fans will make up for it. How should he handle this tonight, Bart? How would you handle it?
I mean, I think this is the softest landing he can ask for.
Yeah.
I mean, and if you're Philly fans, you should be happy that if you watch where Ben Simmons is, his basketball game is, opposed to James Harden, you should say, well, thank you, because he gave us James Harden.
Mm.
So, I mean, don't be too hard on him, especially when you see that the issues with him in his head is real. Yeah, I think they were thinking like, man, ain't nothing wrong with this dude.
Mm.
But then he had to go have back surgery. He's struggling coming back now. He still's not shooting the ball. So maybe they was like, well, okay. We thought he just didn't want to be here. He was being a brat. But he really does have issues. And I'm glad that that's Brooklyn's issue and problem, not my ours anymore.
So you think that that's how the fan base will be there, that they won't want to get their pound of flesh? I almost feel like it's been so long.
Yeah, you should feel sorry for Ben
Simmons. Matter?
You should feel sorry for Ben
Simmons. Feel sorry for him?
Yeah, this dude is – listen, this dude, even when he couldn't shoot, was still a all-star.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he's now an elite defender
and
playmaker.
He looks like a shell of himself. Looks like he's questioning every part of his game.
Last couple of games, though, he's starting to show you that player he was before he started having some of the yips that he was dealing with in the playoffs. With
he still has the yips, man. He still be in the paint and don't even look at the basket.
Mm. This would be the game where it's like every chance you can dunk, you dunk.
Left hand, right hand.
You know what I mean? Like every possible chance to dunk. Like I'd even leak out a couple of times. Like just be that guy. Knowing that the last play was you not dunking the basketball and they won't let you get over it. So like to me, almost like
if you want to be a jerk.
If you're Jacques Vaughn, this is what you do. Your first play.
This is Glory Road.
What do you mean?
Glory Road, he told him. In the championship game, you dunking, you hanging, you put your elbow on that rim.
that would be the thing, is you have a play call, script it, for like some kind of either a backdoor cut or an oop or something, and just get Ben Simmons a dunk on the very first play of the game.
I want him to get a tech for hanging on the rim.
Just hang on it.
Yeah!
Just like rip it down, whatever it takes.
Snap it. They got to come out and recalibrate it.
That's
just
it.
Be hanging. And I grab the nets.
Pull it all down. Climb up on it.
Yo,
sit on the rim.
Yeah.
It's like, whatever. Give me a tech. Like, get a tech for it. Like, whatever it takes. Like, you almost feel like, is that what you do? But, you know, unfortunately, though, when you saw the schedule and you saw the calendar, you're like, all right, circle that. That's going to be a fun game. And it takes a lot out of it that you don't have the three main players in it. And that's the NBA, man. That's the problem with the NBA is that you look forward to certain games and it's like
it happens in football though. It's not voluntary.
It's not
low management.
Yeah, you had that last night,
Murray, but these guys are hurt for real.
Oh no, I know. Yeah, no, it was that Maxey injury was scary and it's a concern. Embiid's injury, he tried to play through a little bit, but you could see a big man like him, you have to keep him.
Are they in trouble? Are they a team to watch?
We don't know.
Are they better than the Cavs? John Collins, can you see John Collins coming to the Knicks?
No. Do not
see have
that.
Enough?
Do not see that.
You don't have enough?
It's not that. It's that he's not a piece that they need. Unless
you get rid of Julius Randle for
well, Collins? I mean, unless you're doing that.
Would you do that?
I don't know if this
to open up for R.J. Barrett.
Would the Hawks do that?
He's a better scorer.
I don't know.
And he don't have to have a ball.
They need 3 points. Look, if the Knicks are doing anything, they need three-point shooting. You know who's in trouble?
Randle improve?
I'll tell you who's in trouble.
Bobo?
No, Bobo's in a great spot. The Miami Heat are in trouble because they used to be about defense, and they don't defend as well as they used to. And then the Chicago Bulls, who did win last night against the Celtics, but they've been in trouble too. Two playoff teams that have not played well.
Two out, that means the Pistons and the Magic can move in.
The future for Detroit is good. In fact, the Final Four will be there. In 2027, where will we be?
Wait till we get way, way, way whammy.
Yes.
Hey, what's that guy from France, Bokiaki?
Thanks for listening to the Barton Hahn Podcast. You can listen to the guys live weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio. Plus, you can listen and watch the guys on the ESPN app. This is the Barton Hahn Podcast.